It is week 27 of the year 2021, and you're listening to Father Roderick to the Max. Welcome back to a new episode of Father Roderick to the Max, a show that I record as a thank you for all my supporters. One of the other ways in which, of course, we can share our ideas and get together is the Discord server. It's always a joy to go there, find new recipes, cool photos of your pets, tips also. For me, it's a great source of inspiration about what to watch on all these different streaming platforms, because in the community, people do a lot of movie and TV series viewing, so that's often where I get my ideas on what to watch next. Also, it's very cool to get a little bit of an insight in your hobbies and the things that you enjoy doing. From cooking to astrophotography, Maciej posted a very cool set of photos that he took with a telescope. One shows Saturn, and you can see the rings. And the other one is even cooler because it's Jupiter. It's not just Jupiter, but you also see a little dot on the left side, which is the moon Io. And this immediately brought me back to the time when I was still in seminary and my brother was still in high school. And during vacations and every once in a while, I would stay with my parents. And when, especially in the fall and in the winter time when it was dark early, he would take out his telescope. He had a refracting telescope, so one that uses lenses. And you could see all the details on the moon. And I remember seeing for the first time in my life the rings of Saturn, which to me was mind-boggling. It was so cool. Of course, I was a huge fan of anything that was related to astronomy, space exploration. I was a member of a youth society for astronomy. I would read every book about it. I'd have these big posters on the walls of my room. That was before seminary, with diagrams of the space shuttle and close up photos of planets and novas and whatnot. But it's very different seeing something on a photo or seeing something with your own eyes and knowing, you know, this is real. It was so cool, even though it was a pretty small telescope. It always awakened in me the desire to one day own my own telescope. And even though my brother had a refracting telescope, I was always dreaming of getting a reflection or a reflector telescope, which is a slightly bigger tube, and it has a mirror, like a curved mirror on one side, and then it uses smaller lenses in the ocular, but the mirror catches the light and beams it into the lens in front of your eye. And from what I read, and this may be completely old data, the reflections, so the ones with the mirror, had a much greater capacity of capturing very weak light sources. So it was used a lot for astrophotography. Now, of course, nowadays, you can even use regular photo cameras for that. Some of the more advanced cameras even have a specific astrophotography setting, and especially now that you can zoom in so much, you've got digital enhancement, denoising, etc. Even with some phones, you can take pretty convincing photos of the Milky Way and stars, provided of course that there is not much light pollution. So I'm still hoping that if one day I will live in my own rectory, and unfortunately it's going to take a while because well, I've shared that before. It is a gargantuan enterprise to restore the house and fix it. So right now, we hope to install the kitchen this week. And I was so looking forward to that because it's kind of the token room for me. That is probably where I'm going to spend, at least the highlights of the day, because I love cooking. And I'm so looking forward to finally having a decent kitchen with a good oven and whatnot. But anyway, but the walls have been repaired about a week ago, and it doesn't dry because it's been one of those very humid, rainy summers. And so if the walls are not dry, you can't continue the work. So every time we have to add a few more weeks to the total duration of the renovation. And anyway, one day I will live there and you will know it. But I'm looking forward to that time because for the first time in more than 15 years, I will have my own backyard. And of course, that is a perfect place for a telescope. So once I have my backyard, I hope that there is not much light pollution in that village. Actually, I don't know because there is a biking track or what is it? A passageway behind the house for bikes. And there may be street lanterns, which of course is not that good if you wanna look at the stars. But anyway, here's hoping that it will be dark enough for me to see something with a telescope. Oh, gosh, I can't wait. But anyway, in the meantime, I'm enjoying the photos on the Discord server and all the other good stuff that you all are posting there.
Just look at the x-rays. You see that dark spot there? Whiplash.
Whiplash? Oh no.
And this smudge here that looks like my fingerprint? No, that's trauma.
So not so long ago, I was filming in an old monastery. The monks are no longer there. They moved to one of the smaller islands to start a new monastery because the old one was way too big. I think there were only four priests left or four monks left. So they decided to build a smaller new monastery and leave the old one, which could house, I think, more than 100 monks behind. And now there are different groups of people that live there. And I went there for a kind of like a new type of retreat, which is very much geared towards people that have a burnout and stuff like that. It was organized by young people. And what I loved was how they tried to both combine the ancient tradition of prayer and silence and being in that beautiful environment there to take people out of that busy life that they have and reconnect with the tradition of these monks. And at the same time, it was also very much geared towards the pressing needs of my generation, which is how can I find my balance? How can I regain my health, peace of mind, etc.? And so for the camera, because I only had one day to film that, we did a test, or I did a test, where I had to fill in a form answering tons of questions about my lifestyle, my current lifestyle, my eating habits, my amount of sleep, how I felt during the day. And then that was the easy part. And it already revealed quite a few issues that I've been struggling with for years. And most of the time that has to do with having too much on my plate. And of course, that is entirely my own problem. It's easily remedied by saying no to much more than I actually do. But even though I am already much better at doing that, I still, from time to time, get these. It's almost like a traffic jam in my calendar when there is just not enough time for the stuff that I need to do and for all the things that I said yes to. It is vastly improving now that I only have this one assignment, which is to do this apostolate or to work in this in the media as a priest. So I don't have that constant kind of split personality where I have to be like catering to the traditional parish population and all the things that happens in local parishes, and at the same time having to deal with the world of deadlines and video production and the technological side of it, but also the kind of the productional side of it, which is a whole different ball game. And these two are proved to be very hard to reconcile. Now that I can focus on video production, or media production, I should say, and I can assist here and there in Father Henry's parish, I already feel that that is helping me to have more peace of mind. I sleep better. I don't have that constant thing in the back of my mind like, oh, I'm probably forgetting something important. And I've had that for years. However, I'm also not entirely there when it comes to my daily rhythm. I remember when I went to visit a friend of mine who is a hermit in France, I came back from that week and I found the perfect rhythm for me, which was to wake up around 6 o'clock in the morning. I would sit in the hallway at a little corner with a small altar, and I would say my prayers, and it would be so quiet. And I loved that early morning routine. And then during the day, every time I wanted to pray, I just returned to that place, and it was just perfect. But I don't have that right now because, I'm in a different situation. I only have this one room and this one chair, and it's a desk chair, and it pushes me literally forward with my face into the screen of my monitor, and it's all set up for production, for work. And I noticed that actually has also an effect on my, let's say, not really the capacity, because of course if there's a will, there's a way, as they say, but it's not the most conducive situation for prayer and for prolonged meditation. That requires something as stupid as a good chair that is comfortable to sit in so that you don't get pain in your back when you sit for too long. For me, in the old rectory, what I loved was the type of light in the hallway. It was just a few spotlights, and the rest of the house was still dark, and that helped me to focus. Here, I've only got one light in the room, and it's this big tube light. It's very bright, and it's kind of an industrial thing. You would see this in a factory. And of course, since I originally only thought to be here for maybe at max 2 months, I'd never bothered bringing in any other lights. But it's the type of light that is very unfriendly. It's okay if you're doing, desk work. But even when I just want to read a book, I prefer to just turn it off and sit in front of the window. I do have a small light near my bed, but it's not bright enough, so I can only use that when I read on my Kindle, but that's usually right before I fall asleep. So this is something I've been thinking a lot about, and I may talk about this next week as well, either in the walk or when I do a book review. I'm almost done with reading a book called Tiny Habits. And it's been pretty enlightening when it comes to how we can condition ourselves to make changes, how we can acquire new habits. And one of the things that it explains is that we often think of the things we do in life as being powered by willpower. I want to go on a diet. Well, it's just a matter of willpower. I just have to will myself not to eat those snacks, etc. Well, it turns out it's a little bit more complicated than that. Willpower is actually a very shallow base to work with. And it's not very reliable, something we all are familiar with. Our willpower in the morning can be huge, and in the evening, it just melts away. And that's just the way we are built. It's like a production error almost. So willpower alone, plus if you consider everything to be a matter of willpower, and this is also true for stuff like a relationship, for instance, you cannot just maintain a relationship by sheer willpower. If that is the only criterion, do you really want it? And is that, are you just lazy and you just let yourself go? Then everything becomes also immediately kind of filled with regret and shame if you don't have enough willpower. And what this book explains from a psychological point of view is that there are a few other ingredients for habits, and for if you want to change things or you want to do things, not only do you need motivation, willpower, which is actually the least reliable one, but you also need to have the ability, the power, the capacity, the energy to do something, but also sometimes just the aptitude. Of course, if you tell yourself, you know, I want to learn how to play the piano, but you're deaf, then good luck with that. You just don't have the ability. So you also need to know if something that you want to change, if you have what it takes to make those changes. And then you also need to have a trigger. So you have to make it easy for yourself to make changes. That's why it's called tiny habits. It means usually the strategy that he proposes in the book is start small. Start by connecting a new habit to an older one that you already have. For instance, an example that he repeats over and over again is you go to the toilet and then you do 2 push-ups. Everyone can do 2 push-ups. But the fact that you connect it to something you already have is part of your day-to-day routine, it's much, much easier to do that. Plus, the trigger, you know, I go to the toilet, which means I'm going to do 2 push-ups, is something that will make it much easier to get things done and to make those changes. And then another ingredient is to celebrate when something goes right. It's what I do every morning now is when I wake up, this is also part of the recommendations in the book, I put my 2 feet on the ground and I tell myself, today is going to be a great day. And there are days where I am not convinced that it's going to be a great day, but I try to tell myself, today is going to be a great day. And it changes my mindset, or at least it helps me to approach the new day, not with sorrow, worries, stress, but to first look for, you know, the opportunities for this day to be great. And then on days that I really don't feel it, and it almost feels like I'm not telling the truth if I say today's going to be a great day, then I add the word somehow. Somehow, today is going to be a great day. Which gives you some options, you know, even though a lot of stuff will not be great. And you know that in advance when you wake up, you know, somehow it's still going to be great. And you know what the funny thing is? That is true. There's always something during the day and if you take some time at the end of the day to look back on what happened, which is something you can do by journaling, for instance, you will always find a few things that were really great and that you can really be thankful for. It's very rare to have days where nothing is good. And that's a good thing that those are rare. So anyway, this is how did I get to this point? For prayer life and stuff, making it easy to pray, to create an environment that is conducive to prayer, can help you to establish that routine. And now that I've been kind of derooted from my old situation where I had that, like, perfect alignment of circumstance and motivation and trigger, I find it very hard to find that rhythm. And I keep thinking, you know what, this is just a temporary situation, which I didn't even cause myself, so I'm not going to beat myself up about this. I know that this is going to be all right. I need some patience. This is going to be fine. And for me, that is already a huge victory, to be able to tell myself, you know, don't worry about it. Don't beat yourself up. Don't blame yourself all the time for the stuff that doesn't go well. Just also have some patience with yourself and with the situation. Things will improve. And in the meantime, be thankful for everything that you can do. For instance, recording a podcast at 8:00 to midnight. In front of a computer. I mean, with my Rodecaster and a decent microphone and a good list of show notes. I mean, that's already much more than I've been able to do for the past 2 weeks, where the weeks were so full of work and the film shoots were taking so much time and energy that sometimes when I got home, I would just lay in my bed with my clothes on and I would wake up the next day. That's how tired I was. Even this afternoon, I just passed out. I felt like I cannot sit here anymore in front of I have to lay down. And then I was gone for 2 hours. That's how tired I was. If you want to hear more about why I was so tired, check out this week's episode of The Walk, where I talk about my adventures in the nearby zoo. Feeding bears. Oh, my goodness. I still have scratches on my arm. I hope they don't get infected, because they do. Well, they don't itch, but they do hurt a little bit. Anyway, that's nor here or there. Going back to the retreat that I was following and the take-in, the other part of the test that I had to do was a very simple weight test. I had to step on a pretty advanced set of scales, which measured also your body composition. And that was a big wake-up call. That was a big confrontation. It turns out that not only am I too heavy for my height, which is something which I already knew. It's the result, I think, of a lot of things, mostly COVID, not having a fixed training routine yet, and then also just the irregular lifestyle that I've been living, and not always being in charge of the kitchen. And what I did not know was that this is not just external fat, but the big issue that resulted from that test was that I had quite a bit of internal fat. So it's fat around the organs, which is not immediately visible, but it can be potentially very dangerous. That's the kind of fat. I think it's brown fat, isn't it? Anyway, it can clog up your arteries. It can up your blood pressure. That is something to really work on. And they encouraged me to continue training for the marathon, to focus on heart rate training, which is a different style. Normally, I would just go for endurance training. But he said, you know, if you want to, I'm also going to run a marathon later this year. I can give you a schedule where you train on heart rate, which is, I've done that once before, but it's basically you speed up, you slow down. It's a lot of interval training, which apparently is a good way to counteract the effects of being overweight and to have all that, you know, internal fat. But for me, it was frustrating. Well, frustrating. No, it was a wake up call. It was like, there's undeniable proof now that I'm not healthy and I should do something about this, because, I want to live a long and healthy life, and I have a responsibility to take good care of my body because of, well, what God has entrusted me to do. And, well, just as you want to be able to trust your equipment, you want your computer to run, I don't think that my Father in heaven is looking forward to a blue or black screen of death anytime soon. So I need to work on that and upgrade my system a little bit. As usual, I will keep you up to date. But it was hard also because I was being filmed when I got the results. So it was almost like a public confession. I know that like 40,000 people or more will see how bad my current shape is. And so I was like, okay, I'll just accept it. At least it will be good for my humility. There is work to do. And then we did some exercises, and mostly cardio and strength training. That's another advice that he gave me, is like, really do some strength training, either by yourself, or if that's hard, and it is, because I running is something I can do by myself, but strength training, and to do it with proper form, I may have to go to a gym or find a personal trainer to do that. And you know what? It is a little bit tricky that the renovations are so costly, but I somehow need to find a bit of a space in my budget for that personal training, because I think, you know, there is nothing more important than my health right now. Well, of course, your eternal salvation. Yeah. But health is quite important also for your spiritual life. If you're constantly out of shape, you don't have much energy for the spiritual stuff either. So, but that's all that. I've kind of been procrastinating, pushing it forward. It's like, let's first get rid of the pressure of filming all those episodes. I'm glad that this week was the last week. I'm ready for the editing phase. I've got about 5 or 6 weeks to put everything together. I need to be honest there too. I was in the walk, I was telling you that I normally take about 3 days to put a show together, a TV episode. But then in Discord, I immediately got some feedback that, okay, you say 3 days, but does that also include the extra hours and the nights that you have been editing? And I had to say, well, yes, actually, that is true. I did not count the evening and late night hours. So maybe I should schedule 4 days per episode, which is still feasible. But golly, it's still going to be quite a bit of work. But at least with editing, I can stop whenever I want, which is not possible when you're out there filming. You can't say, well, hey, I'm right now, I need to take a break. No, you've got a guest that you need to interview, and you got to set up your shots, and it's nonstop. And that it can be very exhausting. So I'm glad that is over. And with editing, it's mainly an issue of planning carefully, being realistic about the amount of time that it takes, and be consistent. But then I think that these next couple of weeks are going to be a lot more balanced and good for me. And you know what? Maybe I will get some extra weeks because things are not looking very good here in the Netherlands. We've got the arrival of the Delta variant of the virus, and it's wreaking havoc. We've been opening up society probably too fast, and now we see massive infections of younger people that have not been vaccinated. But they still can get sick, and they can get, maybe they won't end up in the hospital, but they can still get long COVID. So it remains a very worrisome situation. Plus, that's not the only danger. If the percentage of people that get infected is too high, you get a red color on the European map, which means that other countries will be able to stop you at the border. And that, of course, puts in jeopardy my vacation, as well as the holidays of, well, most people here in the Netherlands. Everybody has been booking their vacation. When a few weeks ago, everything seemed to go so well with vaccinations. And now all of a sudden, it looks like we're back to square one. And so I'm not even sure if my vacation in France will become a reality. Let's hope that we can turn the tide. But I don't know. As Han Solo would put it, I got a bad feeling about that. A few episodes ago, I asked for ideas when it comes to eating a healthy breakfast. And I wanted to change it up a little bit, maybe add some veggies. Not always do the same old, you know, two slices of bread, one with egg and bacon, and the other one with jam, which is kind of my go-to standard breakfast. I'm not much into breakfast cereals either, although sometimes when I wake up and I have very, very dry throat, I love myself some Rice Krispies with ice-cold milk. There's something about that combination that brings me back to when I was a kid. And so sometimes I indulge with a bit of breakfast cereal, but most of the time I want something a little bit more hearty. So I came across this hack on TikTok, which I absolutely wanted to try out. It's breakfast tacos. It's super easy to prepare, and it is just so much fun to make. What you do is you get these burrito, you know, prefab burrito circles, or what you call them, these kind of look like pancakes or crepes. I take the whole wheat ones, which they sell at Lidl, which is one of those German supermarket chains. That's not very expensive. It's like six burritos for, what is it, a buck or something like that. And usually one is enough for me. Now what you do then is you put that on a plate, and then you make an incision that goes from the edge to the center. That's all. So that will create four quarters if you fold it. So what you then do is you literally divide the circle into four quadrants, and you put something different on every quadrant. So I put a bit of salsa on the first quadrant. Then I add on the second quadrant some cheese, for instance. Then on the third quadrant, I will put some ham or some meat. And then on the fourth quadrant, I put some spinach leaves, for instance, or, well, paprikas or tomatoes even. And then what you do, and that's the magic of that hack, you take the first quadrant and you fold it over the second quadrant. And then you take those two and you fold it up so it covers the third quadrant. And then you take that triangle and you fold it over the last quadrant. That gives you a perfect triangular kind of sandwich. And then you put it in a grill, a contact grill. And then you leave it there for a couple of minutes. The cheese will start to melt. The ingredients will heat up. And then, of course, you don't eat it right from the grill because there's also some air in there and it can be very hot. I'm speaking from experience when I burnt my tongue. But you let it cool down a little bit. And then it is just delicious. It tastes like something you would buy at a store or something like that. It is so yummy and so easy. You can make that in a minute. And I always have some staple ingredients in the fridge, where I have some grated cheese. I've got some meat, some ham or whatever I could put on there. I've got some, you know, big bag of spinach leaves. So a jar of salsa. So I can make this anytime. The only time that I got a little bit frustrated is when I got all those ingredients. I wanted to try it out, only to discover that Luigi had eaten up all my burritos the evening before for dinner. I was not amused. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. It's another great discovery on TikTok. Try it out. Breakfast burritos. Speaking of TikTok, this is also the segment where I share stuff that I came across on TikTok usually. And then I started to Google it and learned a little bit more. Sometimes it's just very useful abilities, how to do shortcuts in Premiere Pro or something like that. Sometimes it is a website that is super useful, design your own logo, things like that. Today I wanted to just give you a demo of something cool that was demoed in a TikTok video, which is a website. It's vo.codes. So vo.codes. Vocodes. Now, I'm just going to let you listen to what it can do. You will hear the voice of a famous British actress, a dame, who will say a quote from a movie that she has not been in. Let's take a listen. It's coming anytime now.
May the force be with you.
There you go. Did you hear that? This phrase.
Here we go. May the force be with you.
This is Judi Dench. Or at least it's a voice that sounds like Judi Dench. And she's saying, may the force be with you. But this website can do something else. It can also say exactly the same phrase in a voice that is much more fitting for such a saying. And
may the force be with you.
There you go. Yoda. We all recognize him. And then I'm not changing anything on the website. I'm just making a different selection. What if Sir David Attenborough would tell you the same thing. What would that sound like? Well, we're about to...
May the force be with you.
There you go. Sir David Attenborough wishing us, may the force be with you. Well, what about this one? Can you guess who this is?
May the force be with you.
This was Severus Snape. May the force be with you, Potter. So this is a website that uses, big data to distill the characteristics of voices. Of course, this is based on a ton of recordings. And then it will be able to synthesize that voice and let it say almost anything you want in any type of voice. And it is sometimes very jarring, very like, sounds weird. It sounds like a little bit creepy, like Lisa Simpson. You can tell that it's Lisa Simpson. She's saying the words, but there's something off about it.
May the force be with you.
There you go. That really sounded like Lisa Simpson, right?
May the force be with you.
But there's also a little bit of a Cylon thing there, a little bit of modulation. And so some voices work really well, other voices, not so much. Let's see. What if we choose Donald Trump to say this? How would that sound?
May the force be with you.
Well, actually, that was pretty convincing, I have to say. what else have I got here? Oh, this one is great, too. You know who this is. Saruman.
May the force be with you.
Okay, it sounded a little bit... And this is even better. This one is better. this is almost sacrilege, of course, that I do this, but... Leonard Nimoy. Okay.
May the force be with you.
Okay, well, it helps to know who you're supposed to hear, but it actually calculates it on the fly. That is the most impressive thing. So this is not pre-rendered. It just sends the whatever phrase you type to a server, and then it comes back with the actual quote. So what if I use something totally different? What if I would do a quote from Snape and see how that sounds in with the synthesized voice of Snape? Let's see. Severus Snape, Goodreads. That's usually where I go for my list of quotes. I want to do the. Let's see. Oh, this is all mixed up. I thought it was in chronological order, but I like this one. This is from the first movie or first book. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or the Philosopher's Stone. I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses. I can tell you how to bottle fame, brew glory, and even put a stopper in death. Now, this, of course, we know this from its original version. Now let's see how it sounds in a synthesized version. I can choose Alan Rickman or Snape, which is interesting, so it can do... Both the actor, probably based on interviews that he gave, or in his more pronounced, you know, Severus Snape type of, you know, character voice. Let's see how that sounds. Here we go. It may take a while because it's a longer phrase, of course. So we'll have to see.
I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses. I can tell you how to bottle fame, brew glory, and even put a stopper in death.
I think that's pretty impressive, to be honest. That actually really sounded like Snape. It's crazy. They even have Peter Griffin. That's not going to work because it's not his language. So it's not just a voice, of course. Here it comes.
I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and engineer the senses. I can tell you how to bottle fan, prove a lorry, and even put a strapper in death.
Okay, so here you can tell it doesn't work because you need to... it's not just a voice, of course. It's also the way someone would speak. And this is absolutely not Peter Griffin's type of or style. I think this would work probably pretty well with Saruman. Because this is also, you know, Saruman and Snape, they are kind of similar characters in a certain way. Even though Snape is, of course, not as bad as Saruman. Let's see what this sounds like. Calculating.
I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and ensnare the senses. I can tell you how to battle fame, to glory, and even put a stutter in death.
It's not bad. It's a little bit artificial, but I think it still works. Let's see now, of course, SpongeBob SquarePants. That's another one that's probably not going to be very convincing because, well, again, it's also a matter of...
I can teach you how to go with the mind and ensnare the senses. I can tell you how to bottle fame, rude glory, and even put a stopper in death.
I think it helps when the character that they're trying to emulate has actually used the words, and otherwise it will do an approximation. That's sometimes why these words sound a little bit muffled. It's probably because the algorithm doesn't have a specific reference for that word or the way in which it is pronounced. So let's see something totally different. Of course, these are mostly American personalities, so I'm not always very familiar with the person that it's emulating. Let's try Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's probably not going to be very convincing either. Oh well, I'll be back. Here it comes. Sending.
I can teach you how to bewitch the mind and instead the senses. I can tell you how to bottle fame, brew glory, and even put a stopper in that.
Wow. Oh, that was actually pretty good. That was pretty convincing. Anyway, I've had so much fun. This is another time sink, so beware. But it is so much fun. Plus, imagine what you can do with this. If you record this, you can make your own ringtones with this. You just type in any phrase you want to have as a ringtone and select your favorite character, and then you can have your own unique, personalized ringtone that will certainly, turn some heads or raise some eyebrows.
I'm quite keen on comic books, especially the ones about superheroes. I find the whole mythology surrounding superheroes fascinating.
You ever try these comics?
No.
You know something?
No, what?
You read too many comic books.
This is the section where I talk about stories that go beyond the familiar world and go to special gifts of fantastic creations, space, and whatnot. I need to make a different jingle, but I haven't had time yet. Anyway, I wanted to share with you something that I just read on the internet. I think it is kind of breaking news, at least for Star Trek fans. And it's a bit niche, so this may not be of interest to everyone. But I was super excited. Star Trek the Motion Picture. Remember that movie? It was made after Star Wars, of course, and encouraged with this by the success of this new sci-fi fantasy genre that seemed to create so many box office hits. Star Trek had been off the TV for a long time. They'd done three seasons, and of course the third season was already kind of like wasn't the quality of the first season. But they wanted to bring the franchise to the big screen. And, of course, since they saw how much money Star Wars was making, they thought, we already have a franchise that would be perfect for this new audience that craves stories in space, let's turn Star Trek into a motion picture. Now, they were working under huge time constraints and budgetary problems. It was a very difficult production, very stressed, and they got in so much time trouble that the day of the premiere, the movie was not ready. And they were working on the edit for during the last hour before the premiere, and then the editor personally brought the reel with him for the premiere. He almost arrived in, too late, and there wouldn't have been a premiere. So that's how stressful the whole situation was. Now, of course, for a director, for anyone involved, that is a nightmare scenario. You'd much rather have a situation like now for many movies that have been filmed 2 years ago, but because of COVID, they couldn't be released. Like, for instance, Black Widow, the movie that comes out any time now. They had an additional year to finish it up. And of course, then you can make sure that everything is perfect. Even though, of course, it depends on the quality of what you've shot. But at least post-production can really, really take its time to make it as good as possible. They didn't do that for Star Trek, the motion picture. However, it was a huge success. It had a really good box office revenue. And, of course, it was also the beginning of the survival and kind of the new life for Star Trek. If that movie hadn't been made, I don't know if we would be having a Star Trek fan base now. So the movie itself was not very good, especially if you compare it to Star Wars. Let's be honest, the Star Trek motion picture was very slow, pondering. It did have a very intriguing story, and I actually thought that the fact that it took its time almost made it feel more classic than Star Wars. It was more the pacing of, let's say, 2001. You know, it felt like an old-fashioned Hollywood space opera. And the only problem is that it was pretty hard to watch a few years later because, of course, this is not the kind of storytelling that we do anymore. Plus, the special effects were really lousy. And they made so many rushed cuts during editing that they, I think, took the balance out of the story, and there were just so many shortcuts. It just wasn't the movie it was supposed to be. Many years later, the director went back and re-edited the movie. And in 2001, if I'm not mistaken, they reissued the movie on DVD, which back then was kind of the standard for digital movie distribution. And for the occasion, they also redid almost all the special effects. And they, for the movie that had been rendered in pretty low resolution, this was, you know, still done mostly with practical effects, and it just didn't look very good. And they also, because of cost issues, they did leave out a lot of the sequences that involved complicated and expensive special effects. So stuff that in the script, the original movie script, was supposed to be very important was almost ignored in the first version of the movie. So for the special edition or the director's edition, they hired a company to redo a lot of the effects and to add in the stuff that had been storyboarded but could not be realized at the time because of cost issues. Unfortunately, after that, they never, ever reissued that movie on Blu-ray. So the only version that I still have is on DVD. And, DVD, if you watch DVD on a 4K TV, you know, like a 55-inch TV, it doesn't hold up very well. Even though you can upscale it, it's still the worst looking of all the Star Trek movies. But I really like the result and the new pacing of that movie. I think the director's edition shows you that that movie was actually a lot better than you would think based on the original version that was brought to theaters. So this is just one of those movies that absolutely turns into something completely different with the all the added stuff and the scenes that were cut out. So just the other day I read that Paramount has given the green light for a 4K remaster of the director's edition of the Star Trek The Motion Picture. They are also going to bring in the or re-edit the music, and they're going to do a Dolby Atmos track. I think since this is going to be not just an upscale, but they're going to re-scan the original negatives, chances are that also the color correction is going to be much better. They can, of course, get rid of all the, you know, the issues with practical effects and kind of hide the blue screen issues that Star Wars also had, but George Lucas later on tried to fix. They can all do that with in a much more advanced way now than even George Lucas was able to do that with the special editions. So the 4K version will arrive between December and next March. However, it's not going to be available immediately on Blu-ray. They're first going to bring it to Paramount Plus, of course, in order to drive subscriptions. That's kind of one of the downsides of all these streaming platforms. They want to have their exclusives. And so for many fans, it is either going to be yet another subscription, or you'll just have to wait for the Blu-ray to come out, which probably won't be right away. But I am super excited that thanks to all these streaming platforms, there now is an audience that is big enough to warrant such a remaster. And I hope that this is not going to be the last movie that will have the pleasure of getting such treatment, because there are many other movies that I think deserve a full remaster and restoration. There's just so much stuff, especially from the golden age of, you know, Spielberg and George Lucas movies. And there are so many of these classics that if you watch them now on the big screen, yeah, they really show their age. But it's nothing that a bit of color correction and a remaster can't fix. So here's hoping that we'll see much more. That was not the only topic for this section. I also wanted to mention briefly that I've been watching The X-Files every once in a while. It is available in my country on Amazon Prime. And it's the series that I never got to see when it was on TV because I was in seminary. So I would catch an episode every once in a while. I loved it, but I never saw the entire saga. Now, since I don't have that much time and I don't want to go through, these are still old-fashioned seasons with like 24 episodes per season. There is so much content. However, I found a list which will help you to focus on just the mythology episodes. So the ones that forward the overall frame, the story that they were trying to tell. And in addition to that, you had a lot of Monster of the Week episodes, which were also sometimes very entertaining and very good, but they're not required viewing material. This is kind of similar to the list that I used for the Clone Wars, where I focused on the episodes that told the overall story, and I skipped a number of the fluff episodes, and I still have quite a few episodes of Clone Wars that I've never seen. But it doesn't matter. I wanted to be up to speed for, you know, everything that came after the Clone Wars, and I'm glad that I followed that list. However, sometimes you miss the kind of somewhat more standalone episodes, but there's always a reason to go back then, and then at least you know the overall frame. So I'll include a link in the show notes on the Patreon site in the article connected to this podcast to that list. It is called the Myth Arc Rewatch, in case you want to Google it yourself. The Myth Arc Rewatch. It's a great series. X-Files still holds up very well, especially since they remastered the first few seasons, and they rescanned it, or actually they brought back the original 16:9 aspect ratio, which they cropped for the first few seasons. But they always filmed it for widescreen, so that's pretty cool, and I don't know. They used a lot of tricks also for filming, used a lot of dolly shots, which made it look much more expensive than it actually was as a production. It's a really impressive feat that they were able to do this for so many seasons on such a small budget.
The humanoid must not escape.
I need to start wrapping things up, but a very quick segment here about a new perk that I discovered that also came with my Apple TV. Not only did I get a year of Apple TV Plus, which I love, if only for Ted Lasso, but I also got 3 months of Apple Arcade, which is this subscription model that Apple came up with where you can play a number of iOS games that are unavailable anywhere else. And now normally I don't have that much time. And if I play video games, I only play a few that I really want to play. I've got such a huge backlog that I can, you know, take the first 5 centuries of eternity to just play the games that I bought but never played. So I was not that interested in Apple Arcade. There was one game, however, that made me curious. And I will definitely play a couple of levels. And it's called Fantasian. Fantasian is made by one of the creators of the Final Fantasy series, which is a very famous Japanese, I think it's an RPG. It comes in with many different stories. The early ones, you know, were very, you know, pixel-based, sprite-based. But it got very, very impressive in Final Fantasy. Was it 15? The one that almost feels like you're playing a movie. It's insane. What made this particular game, Fantasian, so unique is that they created a whole bunch of dioramas. They actually built it physically, and then the game characters are projected over it, on top of those real environments. And it works so well. Time will come, everything will reach zero, it says here in the trailer. And then you see the game characters. They just look like generic, you know, anime-style Final Fantasy-type characters. I also think that the game mechanics are also similar to Final Fantasy, where you have to fight these monsters and, you know, usually have a team and you have to combine attacks in order to defeat the monster. But visually, what I like the most in this trailer, there's a lot of CG, so it doesn't actually sell what I think is a strong, unique selling point of this game, and that is the dioramas that they created. It almost feels like when I was a child, I dreamt of being able to walk around as a little Smurf inside the world that I created with my model trains. You know, I had this model railway station, and I just wish that there was a way to shrink myself and ride my own model train. And that's why I was always kind of fascinated with dioramas. I still am when I see those games where you have to literally build, like the planet Hoth, for instance. I've seen those games on conventions, and they recreate that entire landscape with AT-ATs and little rebels, and then you use a whole system of dice and in order to fight battles, and then you have to move your troopers over the diorama. I love it just for the sake of the diorama. I couldn't care less about the game itself, but just it looks so cool. And wow, maybe that's why I'm so much into Lego, and especially the architectural Lego. It brings me back to the time that I would create these model train, you know, houses and little farms and whatnot. And this game has that same appeal to me. You're playing a video game, but it is taking place in a real environment and like a miniature diorama. I love what they did. It looks amazing. And I've never seen any game that comes close to the visual style of Fantasian. So that is, well, one of the games that I will definitely check out on Apple Arcade. If you have any other tips, I don't have much time. Usually when I have my iPad, I'm just using it for production, for work. But if you have any other tips on games that I should check out on Apple Arcade, let me know on the Discord server. Hey, that wraps it up. I don't have a liturgy segment today because, it's already half past midnight, so I need to go to bed. But I'll keep that for next week. Thanks for listening. Take care and talk to you soon.